Hello. Thank you for coming here. It's really great that so many of you came here today to this talk. My name is Michał Dudak, and I'm going to tell you something about Docker, about how can we, as .NET developers, use Docker. Because there are .NET developers here, right? Or maybe someone who isn't. All right, .NET developers, cool. So first of all, a little bit about me. I came from southern Poland. I work in Gliwice in future processing, where I am a technical advisor and an internal trainer. So basically, I make sure that the software we make is the best quality possible. You can find me on Twitter and on GitHub. If you have any feedback regarding the session, please let me know on Twitter or after the session personally. This GitHub link is important because it contains all the demos, code for all the demos that I'll show you today. So you can just play with it. And yeah, that's about me. So what are we going to cover today? First of all, I'm going to introduce Docker to you. Then I'll show you how to run .NET applications on Docker. And finally, we'll host these applications in the cloud. So I think we can get started. First of all, what is Docker? So first, tell me, how many of you have heard of Docker before? That's what I expected. But how many of you have already used it? OK, in production? No one. Cool. So let me make sure we're all on the same page here. So according to their website, Docker is an open platform for developing, shipping, and running applications. That explains everything, right? You know what Docker is. Okay, what does this really mean? Docker runs applications in form of containers. Better? No. What are containers then, right? I'm glad you asked. Containers can be thought of another type of virtualization. You might think of it as a light virtual machine, except it's nothing like it. Virtualization in containers occur on a different level. In case of virtual machines, we have to we're virtualizing basically the bare metal, the machine. We have to install an operating system there, then all the required binaries and libraries. And finally, our application. Containers, unlike virtual machines, don't need to run a full-blown operating system. And they can run applications using a shared operating system. Some part of the operating system, the kernel, is shared between the host, that is the machine that runs the Docker engine, and containerized applications. As you can see, containers remove some duplication. We don't need to run a separate copy of operating system, like in case of virtual machines. And yeah, you can see this diagram is shorter, it's smaller, so it must run faster and more, be more efficient, right? In case of virtual machines, let's say if we have Windows Server on these three machines, we'll have to have a separate copy of this Windows Server per each virtual machine. This is not very efficient. Containers, on the other hand, will use the same image across all the containers that use it. And this is not only the case with operating system. We can share binaries and libraries, basically some parts of this image across many containers. So how is this possible? Containers, like augers and onions, are made of layers. And usually, most of the containers start with a base layer that contains part of operating system. Let's say it's Ubuntu. And if we have 10 containers on our machine running Ubuntu, we'll need just one Ubuntu image. Then let's say a part of these applications use Nginx. So again, we'll install this Nginx image on top of the Ubuntu image, and we just need one copy of this Nginx image. The images are immutable, and the everything that we need to put on top is just our application. I'll show you how this works in practice in a minute. Now, this isn't either virtual machine or containers. We can mix and match however we'd like. So we can either put a virtual machine next to our host operating system and containers within the virtual machine. We can have several virtual machines next to each other and run containers in these virtual machines, as, for example, is the case in Azure. All right, so this was the brief introduction to containers. Now, what is Docker? When we think or talk about Docker, we usually mean Docker engine. But there's more to Docker than engine. The Docker engine is all the bits and pieces that are, for example, on my laptop, on some server. This is the runtime that is required to run applications, containers, that manages these containers and so on. But there's more to Docker than just the engine. There's Docker Hub, which can be thought of as a GitHub for images. You can upload your own images. You can download the official images. You can just share the images with others. There are some other things as well. There are smaller tools to help managing containers. Okay, so how does this work? Usually there's a host. Well, there must be a host. A host, it's a machine that containers will run on. So usually in production or testing environment, we'll have a host that's somewhere in the cloud or on a server. And it will run Docker engine. Now we can talk to this host using Docker client. Docker comes with a command line client, and I'll show it to you. But there's also some UI client, Kitematic. On Windows, it's in, I think, alpha stage, so I wouldn't really recommend using it in production, but you can just try it. So the client talks to the host and issues commands to be run on the host. And the host takes its images from the registry. Registry is a repository of images. It can be Docker Hub, but it can be some on-premise registry. There is a thing called Docker Trusted Registry, which is basically a on-premise registry for example, corporate images. But usually during development, we'll have both the client and the host on the same machine. So this kind of setup is also possible, and I'm going to show you this. Actually, I'll show you both setups. So first few demos will use this setup that the client is on the same machine on the host. And you'll see that there's really no difference in issuing commands. So whether we use Docker, the host on the same machine as the client or connect to a remote host, we really won't see much difference. Going back to Docker Hub, we have over 100,000 public images right now, and 87 of which are official images made by software vendors. There are things like MySQL, MongoDB, Redis, and so on and so on. You can upload your own images. It's free. OK, so enough me just talking. Let me show you how this works. First, I'll create a basic image. And for the first demo, I'll use Ubuntu. So I'm here inside Ubuntu. I hope you can see this. And let me first check what images I have already installed on this machine. So I type in Docker images. And I can see I've got three images right now. The backup image for the next demo, in case something goes wrong. The Microsoft / ASP.NET image, which is an image from Microsoft that contains the bits and pieces to running ASP.NET applications. And Ubuntu. So let me just run the Ubuntu image and see what it's like. So Docker run. I'll run it in an interactive mode. This is this flag IT. meaning the console output will go to my console and input will be captured from my console. I have to specify the name of the image, Ubuntu, and a command to run. And that's it. We are inside of a container. See how fast this was? This is not spinning up a new virtual machine. This is just running a bash inside of a container. And this bash is isolated from every other process on this machine. And let me show it to you. I'll use the top command, which lists processes that runs on the machine. And I've got just two of them, bash and top. On the other hand, if I run top on my host, I'll get plenty of them. OK, but running Ubuntu and playing with it, it's not really that fun. Well, maybe it is, but there's no point in running just such a simple image. So the whole point is to create new images and use them. So how can we create a new image? So let's say we would like to create an image with a text file. That would be useful, right? So to do this, I'll need a text editor. But this Ubuntu image is very slim, so it doesn't come with all the applications you'll find in a desktop distribution of Ubuntu. And I found only one text editor, which is VI, which I'm not really a big fan of. And so I'd like to install another text editor. I'll use Nano because it's more user-friendly for me. Let's see if it's already there. It's not. Can you see this, by the way? Let's do this. So I'll install Nano. I'll use apt-get install Nano. It will download its package from the internet. And it's there. I can now run it. OK, it works. Cool. Now I can save the state of this container and make an image out of it. An image is a snapshot of a container. So let's exit this and create a new container. So I need to know the ID of the container that I was running. To do this, I'll type in docker-ps that lists all containers, basically, that we're creating on this machine. And I've got this ID of 425 whatever. So I can now commit the state of this container. 425 will be enough. And provide a name of this new image. Let's call it Ubuntu with, typing in front of the audience is always cool. Ubuntu with Nano. So we've just created a new image out of this container. Let's see, Docker images. And there is Ubuntu with Nano. I hope everyone can see this. And of course, now I can run Ubuntu with Nano using the same command that I used before. We've got autocomplete with bash, so that's the advantage of Linux versus Windows. And I've got this Nano application over there. I can write something. And save this to a file. Let's say hello. Now, this file was saved in a root folder. And there we have a hello file. Now, if I go to my host and go to the root folder, there is no hello file. So a container gets its own file system. It's separate from the host. It feels that the file system it gets is completely isolated from the rest. Okay, so this was the brief introduction to containers, but there's no ASP.NET or any .NET involved in this. So let's move on. As you can see, it's still Linux. How many of you use Linux? Okay, a few of you. How many of you would like to use Linux instead of Windows? Yeah, I think the same people. But if you're like me, you like Windows, but this is Linux, so I'm not really showing you the things I like. And yes, the official Docker client runs on Linux, Docker client and Docker engine. Now, there is a thing called, called Docker for Windows, and it runs on Linux as well. The only thing that runs on Windows in Docker for Windows is the Docker client. When you install Docker for Windows on your Windows machine, you'll get a virtual machine running inside VirtualBox. It's a distribution of Linux called Boot to Docker that is made specifically to run images, to run containers. But fortunately, if you've been to the previous talk, you know that .NET Core runs on Linux as well. So the first important thing from this presentation, if you're a .NET developer, you can write .NET Core applications and run them on Linux. And it's not the only thing we can do. Recently, Microsoft announced Windows Server native container support, and it will come in Windows Server 2016, which is currently in technical preview 3. And it's still somewhat buggy. Not everything works. And I'll show you a demo, but don't blame me if something doesn't work. And very important note, point to note here, Windows will run only Windows images. Now, Linux runs only Linux images. So I won't be able to, for example, run this Ubuntu with Nano container on a Windows machine. There's the virtualization is not at the level low enough to allow for this. OK, so let's create an ASP.NET 5 application and run it on Linux inside of Docker. We'll need ASP.NET 5 application. And because this is not an ASP.NET 5 talk specifically, I'll use a pre-created application. I won't create it on the fly. I'll use Ubuntu as my host. And I'll use the Microsoft ASP.NET image you've already seen. Now, the application I'm going to show you is the simple to-do application written in MVC6. However, this MVC6 will be used only for the API part. I'll serve static files with static file middleware. And I hope you already know about this, thanks to Mr. Hanselman and Mr. Hunter. And I'll use Entity Framework version 7, which allows us to use an in-memory data store, which is great for testing or demos like this. Now, the Microsoft ASP.NET image is the official base image provided by Microsoft that allows us to run .NET Core applications. And it comes in two flavors, Mono and Core CLR. Both are Debian-based, but it really doesn't make any difference for us. So let's create, or let's Dockerize an ASP.NET application and run it on Linux. All right, this one. Maybe let me show you the application first. It's really simple. I've got one entity to do, which has an ID, a description of the task, and a flag determining if it's completed or not. Here's my entity framework context. It's entity framework 7, as I told you. And this is how we configure the in-memory database. And now a controller, equally simple. We can get a list of all to-dos. We can get just the one to-do. We can create one, edit one, and finally, delete one. As I said in the beginning, if you'd like to take a closer look at this, you can just go to my GitHub, and it's already there. My context is injected using the built-in dependency injection. And let me show you the startup class real quick. Here I register my MVC services and entity framework services and in-memory database. And I've got a couple of middlewares. First of all, I am logging my requests, so really simple logger. And I'm using file server. error page, and finally MVC. Once the application is created, it will print out the port that it listens on. So first, let's run it without Docker, real quick. So I'm over here with where the application is stored. And the first thing I need to do is to restore the packages, the NuGet packages. And we've already seen on the previous talk, we can use DNU restore for this. And it will go into NuGet and download all the necessary packages. It finished pretty quickly because I've already done this, so I've got all the packages cached. And now we can run the applications. The command for this is DNX web in my case. Yep, keep your fingers crossed. Yes, and it's listening on port 50,000. Let's see if it works. Localhost 50,000. So we've got our application. We've got logs. Show ASP.NET on Linux. That seems like a completed task. Okay, but this wasn't the point of this demo. So let's just run this application on Docker. Now, previously, I showed you one way of creating new images. So that was running a container and then entering it and doing whatever we would like to be done there. But it is quite cumbersome, and there must be a more convenient way of creating new images. And yes, there is. We can create a file called Dockerfile that contains all the necessary information to build an image. Unfortunately, I've got such a Dockerfile here, and let me show it to you. It's a really simple text file. So first, we specify the base image of our new image. We say that Microsoft/ASP.NET should be the base image of our new image. Then we add everything that's inside the same folder the Dockerfile is to the /app folder of inside of a container, and set this folder as our working directory. Then we run DNU restore, and we expose the port the application runs on to be able to connect to it. We just need to set the entry point so we don't need to type it every time we run the container, and we're done. The formatting's pretty messed up here. To run or to build the image using Dockerfile, we have to type in docker build, optionally provide the name of the new image, so let's say NDD demo, and point it to the directory that contains a Dockerfile. It was really quick because I've already done this before and it's using cache. Normally, it would take the most of the time spent here will be restoring DNX packages. So we've got our new image, Docker images, and I've got this NDD demo image. Okay, so let's just run it. Docker run. Now we have to map the port of the container to the port of the host, so I'll be able to access it from my host. To do this, we specify the P switch, and for example, we can map the port 80 from the host to port 50,000 of the container. So whenever I access port 80 on the host, the traffic will be redirected to the port 50,000 of the container. And Docker run and just NDD demo. This should do the trick. I hope so. We are running it in an interactive mode, so we'll get logs on the console. So let's see if it works. So I'll use port 80 on my host, which is the default port. And as you can see, I'm getting logs. And we are just, right now, we are running an ASP.NET application inside Docker on Linux. basically, it works. Yeah, but .NET Core is not, will not always be enough. First of all, it's not ready, not complete yet, so it may lack some features. And also, it will never be as feature complete as the full .NET framework, because that was a design decision. So there will be times that you'll have to use a full .NET framework. Now, this isn't obviously possible on Linux. Linux won't, will, I don't know if never, but in the foreseeable future will not run full .NET framework. And this is possible only on Windows Server, using Docker for Windows Server. Now, this isn't Docker for Windows, which run on Linux. This is proper Docker for Windows Server. And it will use a Windows Server core base image. Now, I'll use mostly the same application. Of course, it's not ASP.NET 5, but .NET Framework 4.6. And I initially wanted to create an ASP.NET 4 application, but it turns out that it's not supported in Windows Server containers yet. And so I created something that that is as similar to ASP.NET 4 as possible, so I created a self-hosted web API application. So it's a console app that listens on a port and serves and handles requests. I'm using Entity Framework 7 here as well, so Entity Framework 7 will work equally well on .NET Core and the full .NET framework. Windows Server 2016 is the first and only, so far, Windows that supports containers. And containers can be managed not only by Docker, but there's also a PowerShell API or CLI command line interface for managing these containers. Windows Server Core image is currently the only image that works on Windows. It's not available on Docker Hub right now. It has to be downloaded from Microsoft. And there is a downside that it's quite large. You may have seen that Ubuntu image I showed you before was about 183 megabytes. Now compare this to almost 10 gigabytes of Windows Server image. So now let's see how to create an .NET framework application using Windows Server. So this is Windows Server Core. It's not really like Windows Desktop. Has anyone used Windows Server Core before? Like some hands. OK, so this doesn't have a normal UI. The command line is the standard UI for Windows Server Core. And I'm running PowerShell right now. So let's see first the PowerShell support for containers. Get container image. It will list all the images that are installed on this machine. And as you can see, we've got this Windows Server Core. Now, if I run Docker images, the same command I used on Linux, I also see Windows Server Core image, but also something else. Now, it's only in this technical preview that these lists are different. The aim is to make them the same. So when I create a container inside of Docker, I'll be able to use it with PowerShell CLI as well. But right now, it doesn't work. But still, it's quite an early preview. Since this is a Docker presentation, I'll use Docker to create my image. Okay, so let me move to my folder with my application. And we've got a Docker file here as well. This is even simpler than the Docker file on Linux. I'm specifying the base image, which is Windows Server Core, And again, this is the same. I'm adding everything that's inside the folder that my Docker file is in to the app folder in the container, and set this folder as my working directory. And then I set an entry point, which is the compiled .exe. This is, as I said, a self-hosted web API app running in a console. So let's build this. Docker build minus T, NDD demo sounds fine, and provide a path to it. It will send all these files to Docker daemon, and then build the image. And it's successfully built. So now, when I type in Docker images, I should be able to see the NDD demo image over there. Let's run it then. Docker run interactively. Let's map the port. Let's say 80 to 50,005, because that's the port that the application runs on. And there's NDD demo. There's no autocomplete in PowerShell, so here's where Linux wins. And now it may not work, but let's keep our fingers crossed. Microsoft explicitly states that some things won't work, and the official workaround is just to try again. Sorry? Inside my host. So there is a folder inside my host where all the images are stored. I'll get back to it in a minute, because I want to show you something. OK, I've got my server up and running on a port 50,005, which is mapped to the port 80 of the container host. And obviously, I will not be able to run Firefox inside of Windows Server Core. So I'll map port 80 from my container host to port, I think it was 8080. Let me just check. Yeah, it was port 8080 of my native host. So there's a lot of mapping going on. Basically, if I type in localhost port 8080, I'll get inside this container. And you can see the logs are visible. So I'll show Docker on Windows. And that's completed. Now, about these images. OK, let me just close this. You can see the virtual size of this of these images. It says almost 9.7 gigs. So it seems that every image takes about 10 gigabytes of space. But that's not really true. It's a virtual size. I told you that images are shared between containers. So I've got this NDD demo container. And really, the real size of it is just the difference between its virtual size and the virtual size of its parent. So it takes like just 7 megabytes, which is pretty cool. Containers on Windows will be able to be run on Windows Server Core, which I showed you, and on Nano Server. Now, Nano Server is a very small version of Windows Server, around 300 megabytes, but it has limited functionality. Its container support hasn't been released yet, so I won't be able to show you much in this matter. But we can assume that the base image for Nano Server will be much smaller, much lighter than this 10 gig behemoth that we've seen in Windows Server Core. Now, let's talk about containers in the cloud, as ridiculous as it may sound for non-technical people. We have some time. So what's the support for Docker in Azure. So first of all, there are a couple of official apps that you can run just by entering the portal and saying, I want to run MongoDB as a container. But there's not many of them. If we want to run our own image, we can use a virtual machine running, for example, Ubuntu or Windows Server 2016. And there is a service called Azure Container Service, which is in preview right now, which will allow us, using Apache Mesos, to manage lots of containers, like hundreds or thousands or containers, to scale them and provision and so on. Now, we can use Azure containers using command line interface, the same I showed you before, and that I'll show you in a minute, and or by using tools for Docker inside of Visual Studio. Now, this is pretty fine tool. It's still somewhat buggy, but it's pretty all right. It can create machines and set up all the necessary certificates so that the Docker client can securely talk from my machine to the host in the cloud. And we'll see this in a minute. Now, I'm going to show you a demo with setting up machines on Azure, but this takes quite a lot of time. So this won't be really a live demo, but I've recorded this, cut this, and sped it up a little bit. So please forgive me if you expected me to do a live demo, but this way I'm pretty confident that it will just work. So there we have a multi-container application in Azure. So I'll make an application. I made it, but yeah, I'll show it to you. I'll have a backend using Windows Server, and I'll have a frontend using Linux. This will still be the to-do app split in two, so the backend will contain the database and the API that will be called by the frontend application. And the frontend will just serve static files and pass the requests to the API to the backend application. So we'll use both Windows Server Core and Ubuntu. We've got microservices this way. The first part will be to set up a Windows Server virtual machine, and I'll use tools for Docker inside of Visual Studio. So let's see how this works. First, I'm going to click Publish, and if I've got Docker tools installed, I've got the option to publish to Docker. I can select my Azure subscription and fill out all the necessary information to create a virtual machine. So there's really nothing special here. Then I'm able to choose a machine or an image of the machine that it will run. And as you can see, we can choose either from Windows Server or a bunch of Linux images. There was Ubuntu and Core OS. Username, password, standard things, and a certificates directory, in which Visual Studio will put all the necessary certificates to create a secure connection. Now, creating the certificates manually is a bit cumbersome, so it's really great that these tools can do this. And this is the part that takes around 8 minutes, so I've taken the liberty to skip this. And we see the information that the template was successfully deployed, and we now have the application. Now, the second part will be to create an application container on this machine that we've already created. Now, we could use Docker tools for Docker inside of Visual Studio, but at the time I recorded this, there was a bug that caused the Docker file to be incorrect. But thanks to this bug, I'll show how it can be done manually. So first, I have to create a Docker file manually, just by adding a text file. Now, there is no specific template, at least I have not found a specific template for a Docker file, so I'll use just a simple text file. We have to call it a Docker file, and Visual Studio will automatically add the TXT extension, which we don't need. And now the easy part, just from Windows Server Core, add all the things that we need to run. And set the working directory. Now, this Docker file will not be run in the source directory, but rather in the published application directory. And the publish step, as you've probably seen on Scott's presentation, will create a batch file called webcmd that will run the application. So my entry point will be this batch file, the CMD file. OK, once I have my Docker file, I need to set up my hosts. So I need to tell my Docker client that I want to talk to a remote machine. To do this, I need to set up two environment variables. The first one is Docker host, which points to the remote server, and Docker TLS verify will set up a secure connection. Now, when I run Docker images, I'll get the list of images from the remote host. So there, it's really no different from running Docker images and getting the list of images from my host on my machine. Now I need to publish my application to a folder somewhere on my machine. So I'll type in dnu publish and set the directory to publish to, and set the runtime switch to include the core CLR with the image. So the application package will be self-contained. I will not need any dependencies from the operating system to be able to run this image. And now I can build a container image out of it. So there is just a Windows Server Core image here. I'll issue the Docker build command, which you have already seen. I'll call it ASP.NET 5 app. And by specifying the F switch, I'll point it to the Docker file. And then set the location of my whole application. The whole application is around 130 megabytes, so it takes some time to send it to a remote host, so I sped it up a bit. And then the Dockerfile instructions are executed. I'm running on my host a Docker client that's connected to a machine on Azure. So everything that you see here is running on this machine, but it's connected to a remote host on Azure. So if I type in Docker build, and let me pause this for a second, sorry. So if I type in Docker build, it will send all the data from my host, from my machine, to an Azure machine. Okay, so let me continue with this. And now if I type in Docker images, I'll see that on my machine inside Azure, I had my ASP.NET 5 app. And now I can run this app, but I don't want to run it in interactive mode. I want it to run in the background, so this is the D switch. And I'll map port 80 to port 80 of the container because this application is set up to run on port 80. I'm getting the ID of the container. And now let's see if it works. We can connect to this image or to this container. I need the IP of the machine so I can copy it from Azure portal. And let's see if it works. Of course, it will work because it's pre-recorded. I'm getting an empty JSON array, and it means that the API works. It's okay that it's an empty JSON array because we haven't created any to-dos yet. So let's now create a front-end part. The front-end, as I said before, will run on Ubuntu. So let's create an Ubuntu machine. And this will be pretty easy and quick because we've already seen this. Again, click Publish, publish Docker containers, set up a new virtual machine, or we can use an existing one. There's nothing wrong with having many containers running on a single host. That's the whole point. Okay, so we are creating a new Ubuntu machine. Set up usernames, passwords. I've already created the certificates before, so I don't need to create them again. And it should be done in a second. It says the virtual machine, the virtual network, and so on and so on. And now we have a new virtual machine inside of Azure. But it's really an ordinary virtual machine. There's nothing special about this, except it has Docker Engine installed. So we could do this manually as well. And now the final part is to create and run a front-end application container on this Ubuntu machine. So we have to click Publish. Oh, first, let me just tell you how they will communicate, because they need to communicate with each other. And so that the front end needs to know the address of the back end application, because they are communicating via HTTP. And I've done this by setting an environment variable with the key of backend URI, and its value will provide the URI that needs to be called. And here I'm using the ASP.NET 5 configuration system to read the backend URI from the environment variables. And now I'll need to set this environment variable. So on the publish dialog, there is an advanced options pane, and we can set some other run options. And the E switch will allow us to set some environment variables on the host. I have to take the IP address of this machine. And this should be enough. Okay, now I have to just click publish. And the application will be published. And once it's done, Visual Studio will automatically open up a web browser and show us the page that we've just built. So if I just type in anything, like host Docker on Azure, this front-end application will issue a post request to the back-end, and we can see it works because, first of all, it was we saw this to-do item, and we can see the logs of the back-end application. I'll take a look at 10 last logs from this container, and there's a post command and put command that marked this to-do as done. If I delete this, I'll get the delete verb here as well. Now, the logs can be streamed in real time as well, and I'll do this for a front-end application. And Visual Studio, in its output window, provides us with a command to be run to achieve this, so we just have to find this and copy and paste to command line. It will connect to our front-end host and stream the logs from there. And now if I do something over here, I should immediately see the log streaming. And that's basically it. We've created an application using Windows Server and Ubuntu that communicates with each other. Now, why would we want to do this? As you can see, the deployment effort is pretty low, so we can deploy a new application with just two command line commands. We can easily automate these deployments. Also, thanks to Docker files, we can put our description of our infrastructure in a source control system. So if something goes wrong, we can easily revert to a previous state. On some level, we are protected from the works in my machine problem. Also, the server consolidation is increased. What is server consolidation? It's an amount of virtualized application that runs on a physical host. So in case of virtual machines, we can run much less virtual machines than containers on the same machine. And we also have the ability to restrict resources like CPU or memory for each containerized application. Now, Docker or containers are not a silver bullet. They will not magically make your application great and make it work everywhere. So if your application quality is questionable using Docker, you'll just end up with crap in containers, which is not really what you want. Okay, if it was too long and you didn't listen, there are just three things to note here. If you are a .NET developer, you can today run .NET core application on Linux or mono application on Linux. You can run either .NET core or full .NET framework applications on Windows Server Core Technical Preview 3 and virtual machines on Azure. Now, please note that almost everything I showed you today is either in beta or preview, so it's not really ready for production yet. ASP.NET is in beta, Windows Server is in preview, so it's safe to play with it and to explore it, evaluate it, but not really safe to use it in production yet. Here are some useful links. MSDN has the whole section on containers. There is an official Docker site. I recommend the Microsoft Virtual Academy on series on Windows Server. And of course, Channel 9. There is a couple of interesting videos there as well. And that's basically it. Thank you very much for your attention.